And now all things are new. All things are new. Well, last week we celebrated the reality that the resurrected King is resurrecting us. Jesus has given us new life. He is making us new. You see, He's already done it. We have become new in Christ. We are being made new in Christ, and we will be made all new in Jesus Christ. The resurrected King is truly resurrecting us. And out of that reality, we're launching into a new series this morning that I'm calling New Things. I had a lot of long titles, but I couldn't even remember them. So we're going with this very simple. New Things. New Things. And we're going to embark on an exploration for the new things that God has for us now in Christ. And we're calling it an exploration because to explore something is to search something out. And I love this passage of Scripture that's found in Proverbs 25:2. Look at the screen. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. We are reminded in God's Word that we are the royal priesthood. We are now members of the family of God, who is the King of Kings. We're the royal priesthood, and it's our glory, it's our privilege, our glory, our excitement to search out the things of God, the new things that we now have that are now realities in Christ Jesus. And we're reminded also last week in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New. And it goes on, it says that the old has gone, the new has come. And so we search out the new. We explore and look for the new things that have come in Christ Jesus. We begin our exploration with this truth, that new things begin and they end with God. New things begin and end with God. It says in Revelation 21:5, He who is seated on the throne, that's God. He says this, quote, I, God, I am making everything new. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the author, the perfecter of our faith, He is making all things new. And so we turn to God. We turn to His Word and we search out these new things. It's going to be exciting. Are you ready? All right. First thing that we uncover in our exploration of new things is new thinking. It's the title of today's message, the first one in this series. New thinking. God's grace gives us all we need for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. We understand that reality. I speak it over my life all the time. When I'm walking into something that, man, I don't know if I can handle it, you know what, God, You've given me all that I need for this right now. You've given me all that I need. And believe me, as a pastor, I walk into all kinds of things, that places I've never been before. Situations I've never experienced before. Things I've never heard of before. It just happens. Even as Wayne was sharing earlier, get a call out of the blue as a suicide hotline. It's just a man going to a funeral that day and he gets this call out of the blue, out of the random. Things like that happen. But we can rest assured and know that we have all we need in Christ Jesus for life and godliness, for whatever comes our way. In fact, we now have the mind of Christ, Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. That should rock your world. That's worth the admission this morning, by the way, right? You have the mind of Christ if you are in Christ Jesus. But Satan doesn't want us walking in this new thinking. Because if we think differently, And as we're going to hear in a little bit, if we think God's way about things, if we think differently, then we're going to start living differently. We're going to start living the way God created us to live and rescued us to live through Christ. And then we're going to all of a sudden start enjoying God, and we're going to start seeing His kingdom coming in us and through us. And Satan doesn't want that. So he battles against us. And where is the battle? The battle is in our minds. It's in our thinking. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Let's look at this battle. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. No, they're not. On the contrary, Scripture says, these weapons have divine power, godly power, supernatural power, power that comes from the throne of God. Okay? On the contrary, these weapons we fight with have divine power to do what? Demolish strongholds. It doesn't say that these weapons we fight with have the power to just kind of push strongholds away or to cover them up for a period of time so that we can have a little respite from them or something. No. It says that these weapons that we fight with now as the people of God have the divine power to demolish, completely destroy strongholds. And now we continue and get some more insight into what God is saying in this. He says, now we demolish what? Strongholds. But here we get more insight into what these strongholds are. We demolish arguments and every pretension, these strongholds, we demolish them that set itself up against the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. How do we do it? We take every thought captive, everything we think captive, to the obedience of Christ. So we're in a battle. Battle for our thinking. But now in Christ we have new thinking. You see, the mind is the front lines of the battle. That's why we're beginning this new things series with new thinking. Because the mind is the front lines of this battle. The battle between the old and the new. Now again, I said it earlier, Satan doesn't want us to enjoy the new things that we have in Christ. He doesn't want us to walk in those new things. He battles against us. He sets up strongholds. He fills our minds and our thinking with lies that if we believe them, they're going to keep us captive and they're going to prevent us from walking into the new things that God has for us. I love what Jesus said. He makes it very clear. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. He says that the thief, talking about the enemy, Satan, the thief comes only to do what? To steal and kill and destroy. Okay, so that's what the enemy is wanting to do to your life right now. And make no mistake about it. He wants to take you completely out. He's not playing around. He wants to take you completely out. But look at what Jesus says. He continues. He says, but I, Jesus, I have come that they, that you, people of God, may have life and have it to the full. Jesus isn't talking about, hey, there's just this little middle ground that you walk on and the devil's just kind of whoop a little, you know, pinky toe over on that side and I'm kind of the pinky toe over on that side and you can kind of walk this little line in between the two. No, he is showing that there is a chasm. It's a massive divide between what the enemy, the thief, wants for your life and what God wants for your life. One is complete death to tear you down, to take you completely out, to destroy you. And the other side, God's side, Jesus' side, is life and that to the full. I mean, like really alive. And if you think you're alive right now, but you don't know Jesus, you don't know what life is. You haven't experienced it yet, but you can. It's yours for free because Jesus paid the price. Amen. So Satan offers wrong thinking to everyone. But we don't have to accept his offer. I'm selling a house that I own out in Santan Valley because, man, that's a long drive. And we got people in this church who live out there. God bless you. Wow. And I just can't handle taking care of it out there. So I got an offer. I put it on the market. fix it up a little bit, put it on the market, and I got an offer. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm so happy, by the way, about that. So I got an offer, right? And I had the choice. I could either accept the offer or reject it, or the third choice, which was counteroffer, which I did. But forget about that right now. Let me just say this. So I got an offer. Now let's say that offer was just horrible, and it wasn't for the right price, and it too low, and it had all these contingencies that were going to make me jump through all these hoops, that were going to end up just messing me up. I don't have to accept that offer. I can check the box that's right there and says reject, reject, reject. And so the enemy comes and he offers us all these lies. All these lies. But now in Christ Jesus, having the mind of Christ that's renewed because of Christ, we don't have to accept Satan's offer any longer. Instead, we can embrace God's way of thinking that does what? That brings fullness of life. It's like the full price offer. It's like the over full price offer that God offers us. More than we deserve, more than we could ever hope for or imagine is what he's offering us, so we can accept his offer. So how does all this happen, though? How do we embrace new thinking? Three points that I want to put out at us right here that I believe is going to give us some excitement here. The first way, how do we embrace new thinking? We think godly. So new thinking is God thinking. You got to be clear about that. It all starts with that reality. New thinking is God thinking. Romans 8:5. Those who live in accordance to the sinful nature have their minds, what they're thinking, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's God. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds, their thinking, set on what the Spirit desires. Do you see the incredible difference in that? You say, okay, I want that. I want what the Spirit desires. I'm ready for that. Well, how does this all work? Setting our minds on what the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's God, on what the Spirit desires involves the process of, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Repentance.
It involves a process of repentance. And I just couldn't resist saying it that way. It's the big R word. Repentance. Oh. Okay, let's talk about repentance, okay? Let's change our perspective on that. Let's have a new way of thinking about this thing called repentance. Because you're gonna get excited here in a moment about repentance. I know, you will. Check this out. The basic definition of repentance is to think differently. We've talked about that time and time again, because people keep going the wrong directions with what repentance is, right? So the basic definition at the core of repentance is to think differently. It's to have a change of mind, a true change of mind that has results, that will show that it's a real change of mind. Repentance is to have a true change of mind that results in a turning away from sin and a turning toward God. That's godly repentance that's talked about in his word. Repentance. So basically, repentance is changed thinking that then results in changed action. Now, some people get it all backwards and they think, man, I want God. I want to please God. I want my ticket to heaven. And, you know, people tell me that I got to act differently. And this is what it looks like if you're going to get to heaven, is this is how you do life. And this is the hoops you got to jump through and the way you got to look and talk and all that kind of stuff. And so they jump right into trying to change their actions, but they skip the thinking differently part. They skip the thinking God's way part. And so they fail and they crash and they burn. It doesn't work that way. It begins, repentance begins with thinking God's way. Now repentance, it's all about thinking God's way, and it's looking at our lives from God's perspective and then choosing God's way and his perspective for our lives. And when we repent, hear this out, when we repent, we are telling God that we put his will above our own. So that's repentance. We put his will above our own. And that's why repentance is part of salvation. Read God's word. Just jump at the first time. This is at Pentecost. And Peter's out preaching. And he preaches the gospel message with boldness because he's filled with the Holy Spirit, man. For the first time, like completely flooded with the Spirit, he goes out in the streets. He starts preaching the love of God and blowing people's mind with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are like, what do we do? What do we do now? How do we accept this? How are we saved? And Peter replies with this, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, that's good news. Repent and be baptized. So being born again involves us submitting our will and coming into agreement with God's will. With God's will. That's the process of repentance. Another aspect of repentance while we're on this topic here, and it is at the core of thinking differently, of new thinking. One other aspect of repentance that's so important is a process of forgiveness. You see, because our old way of thinking, and thus our old way of acting, things we would do, were opposed to God, we need to ask God to forgive us. When our thinking changes and we get God's way of thinking, we start to recognize our past and we're coming out of agreement. And part of that process is saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for thinking that way. Forgive me for being opposed to you in those areas of my life. And here's the beauty. He forgives us. He forgives us. He doesn't make us do years of penance. I remember when I was going through life and I was going to church and doing all the right things and looked the right way. I called myself an ornamental orange Christian, looked great on the outside, but my fruit was small, dry, and bitter, right? And so that's who I was for a long time. And all of a sudden I found myself on my living room floor bawling out to God, crying out to Him and saying, oh God, I'm all yours now. I get it. I get it. I get it. I'm all yours. I surrender. I'm yours. And here's the amazing thing. Now, that was like 13 years of my adult life before I got to that point. I accepted Christ originally at age 11, and the Spirit was in me and was leading me and guiding me, and I thank Him for that. But that moment of surrender, of repentance at a whole nother level of coming into agreement with God, thinking, when He got me up off of my living room floor and I wiped my eyes clean, did you know that He didn't make me do 13 years of penance before He started using me for His glory? That He forgave me? And He made me new, and He picked me up, and He launched me forward in life, and that's what He's doing for you too. That's what He's doing for every one of us. He's good. He is good. So forgiveness is part of that, and don't skip that part. Now the devil has somehow made repentance a negative thing. Has he not? Think about it. Most of you think, kind of like I said before, repentance, oh, right? Like it's a bad thing or something. And a lot of Christians don't want to talk about it. And that's the last thing that they ever want to get to when they're discipling somebody or leading somebody to the love of Christ. And pastors often will not even want to preach about repentance. And I say, oh, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. No, to avoid repentance is to remain in bondage. To avoid repentance is to remain slaves to sin. So let's get excited about repentance. Check this out. It's in Acts 3, verse 19. We're going to get our new thinking going on here about new thinking, repentance. It says in Acts 3, 19, repent! Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. How many of us need our sins wiped out? Every hand needs to go up right now. We all need our sins wiped out. So we repent. We think God's way about things and come into agreement with His will now for our lives. And so our sins are wiped out. And it says that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. How many of you desire times of refreshing? I want times of refreshing. Repentance releases the grace of God, the power of God in our lives that brings forgiveness, freedom, and refreshing. Refreshing. So do you want the power of God to move in your life in this way? Are you ready for that refreshing? Then you should become a fan of repentance. I love repentance. This is good news. Repentance is good news. It's an amazing gift that God has given us. The ability through Christ Jesus to come into agreement with God's kingdom, with His will, with His way of thinking and living. Wow. Freedom, refreshing, forgiveness comes from repentance. I'm a huge fan of repentance. A huge fan. So repentance and this new thinking begins with what? Thinking God's way. And then that moves us into and just causes us to live God's way, which then results in experiencing the blessings that God has for us. New thinking. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was praying. I was in the prayer room on the other side of that wall. And I was just saying, Lord, would you use this series in an amazing way, God, that you would just cause us to come more and more alive in you, because these new things that we have in you are so incredible, and I don't want us to miss it. I don't want it just to go in one ear and out the other. I don't want it just to be a bunch of head knowledge. I want us to walk into these new things. And the Lord gave me some ideas and strategies for us to begin receiving these things right now, coming into agreement with these new things, and walking in these new things. So what I want to do is I want to invite one of our deacons to come up, Dave Caldwell. And Dave is going to lead us in a prayer right now. We're going to respond in this prayer. And we're going to begin this process of new thinking even right now, of coming out of agreement with the old and coming into agreement with God's way of thinking. Thank you, Dave.
Amen. Everybody stand up, please. So when Pastor Eric asked me to come and lead us in prayer, I was seeking the Lord about this. And I kept hearing about words and the power of words. And as Pastor Eric was saying, the battlefield is the mind, but words are the ammunition. And we're going to pray specifically and come out of agreement with things that have been spoken over us through our lives from people that, you know, maybe their intentions wasn't exactly what God's intention was. So I'm just going to lead you through a prayer of confession. We're going to break some things. And things are going to change. You're going to feel a new freedom in your life after today. Amen?
Amen.
So pray after me. I come out of agreement.
I come out of agreement
with every word curse spoken over me.
Every word curse spoken over
me. And against me.
And against me.
Words spoken by those who meant harm.
Words spoken by those who meant harm.
And words spoken out of ignorance.
Words spoken out of ignorance.
By those who didn't know better.
By those who didn't know better.
Words that I've spoken over myself.
Words that I've spoken over myself.
Any word that does not agree with God's plan,
God's plan,
purpose,
or
destiny,
destiny
that God has planned for my life.
I
break every agreement today. Now,
Father,
I repent for
believing
and allowing those words
to have
authority in my life.
And
I turn from them today in Jesus' name. And I forgive and release those people who spoke those words.
And I forgive and release those people who spoke those words.
Bless them, Father.
Bless them, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So you ask, okay, how do we walk into this? How do we think godly? How do we walk into this? These times of refreshing and freedom. Well, what we just did is an example of how we do that. And we can do that every single day. We can wake up every single morning and come into agreement with God's plan and His way of thinking for our lives. Every day we can do that. But here's another thing. Another thing that we can do in order to walk in new thinking and to think godly is we need to think biblically. That's point number two. So we think godly, but we think godly because we think biblically. You see, new thinking is biblical thinking. In Romans 12:2, we're reminded, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Then, because your mind is being renewed, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And this is the awesome thing about God's will. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Amen. So where do we find God's way of thinking? We find God's way of thinking in His Word, right here in the Bible. New thinking is biblical thinking. We studied through the book of 2 Timothy earlier this year. And we were reminded in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. God's Word is that powerful to bring us to the place of salvation, of new life. God's Word will renew our minds and will lead us into new life, into new things that we now have in Christ Jesus. So again, new thinking is biblical thinking. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. We'll talk about this before we get to the passage itself. Here in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 25, we find that the church is made holy, meaning that the church is made presentable to God, made holy before God, and the church is made radiant when the church is washed with the Word of God. Now, are we the church? Are we the people of God because we are in Christ Jesus? Yes, we are. Well, this holiness that must happen in order for us to see God, as God's Word reminds us, comes as a result of thinking differently, as we're going to see here in Ephesians 5, 25. Holiness is activated and occurs as we think differently. And we think differently, we think rightly, when we're doing what? When we're flooding our minds, when we're washing our minds and our thoughts with the Word of God, with the truth that comes from God's Word. That's how we think differently, and that's when holiness begins to happen and occur in our lives. It's part of the sanctification process, is another way to say it. So notice the result of washing our minds with the Word of God is holiness. Again, verse 25 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives. Now this whole truth is being presented in this analogy, this picture of a husband and wife relationship, and how that is a picture of the relationship that Christ has with the church. And so Paul says to the church, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her what? Holy. Cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word. How does that happen? By flooding the church, by flooding the bride of Christ, the church, the believers, with the truth, the new thinking that comes from the Word of God. And then to do what? To present her, the church, to himself as a radiant church as a result. That church that's been washed and cleansed and flooded with the truth of God now becomes radiant and alive, beaming with joy, beaming with love, beaming with the glory of God, and without stain or wrinkle or other blemish, but holy and blameless. Wow. God makes a way for that to happen. Yes, he has. And so we flood our minds. We wash our minds with the Word of God. New thinking is biblical thinking. Remember, your beliefs will determine your actions. Your beliefs will define your life. That's just how things work. That's why the battlefield is in the mind. That's why the enemy fights against our new thinking. And so we need to let our beliefs come straight from God. That means we believe what God's Word says. Our new thinking comes from God's Word. I want to ask Pastor Rick to come forward. And he's going to pray over us and invite us to pray along with him as we wash and flood our minds with the water of God's Word. Let's stand up again.
What I've done is personalize some passages of Scripture. And as I pray them, I want us to pray into the Word. And I want you to personalize it. Again, it bothers God when we speak and it's mindless and heartless. God wants us to be sincere. He wants to hear our hearts. And so as we pray through this, I would ask that you'd repeat after me, but remember and take into account the gravity of the words that you're declaring before God. Amen. It is you alone, O Lord, who provides me with perfect peace. Because my mind is fixed on you. Because I trust in you. It is you alone, O Lord, who searches my heart and examines my mind, and rewards according to my conduct. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. I will fix your words in my heart and mind. I will tie them as symbols on my hands and bind them on my forehead. I will teach them to my children. I will talk about your word when I sit at home and when I walk along the road, when I lie down and when I get up. This is how I will prove my love for God. I will keep his word, and his word will not be burdensome. I know that if I am born of God, I will overcome the world. Finally, Lord, I ask that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, help me, my God, to think about such things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wash our minds with your word. Get in the word of God. You may be seated. The third way that we walk in new thinking. Of course, we remember the first way is we think godly. The second way we walk in new thinking is we think biblically. And the third way that we walk in this new thinking is we think eternally. We think eternally. Now, I want to go to Ecclesiastes, and you're thinking, Ecclesiastes, who's read Ecclesiastes lately? Well, if you are in the ladies' online Bible study, you're in it every single day. All right, amen. But guys, you ready to go? Can you find it? Ecclesiastes. Get there, come on. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, beginning of verse 14. Now, I'm going to read this, and it should trouble you. The wise man has eyes in his head while the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I thought in my heart, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said in my heart, this too is meaningless. For the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man too must die. Well, that's your uplifting word of the day. The man who wrote this is Solomon, the man of great wisdom who knew the Lord, who walked in the favor and the wisdom of the Lord. I mean, the guy was on fire for God, experiencing the greatness and the goodness and the glory of God. But something happened to lead him to this. What happened? How do you get to this place in life where everything is meaningless? Nothing matters. King Solomon got there because he lacked eternal perspective. He stopped thinking eternally. He got narrow-minded. Therefore, everything seemed meaningless. What happened? Remember what Jesus said earlier about the thief, what he does? What happened to Solomon is that Satan robbed Solomon of the joy of today. He stole from Solomon the joy of today, the joy of God today, by keeping Solomon from thinking eternally. That's what's going on here. What we believe about our future, about eternity, will have great effect on our lives today. I want to go to another often read passage. It's in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 1. She, who is she? Israel, God's people. Now, through Christ, who are we? We are God's people. So let's look at this truth as it's being spoken. She, God's people, did not consider her future. Therefore, what happened? Her fall or her collapse was astounding. Without a thoughtful awareness of what God has planned for us tomorrow, what do? We live carelessly, we live aimlessly, and we live unproductively. Today, we find ourselves exactly where Solomon was. Just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, other passages, other versions say where there's no vision. Let me present it this way. Where there is no awareness of the future, no revelation, no vision, no awareness of the future, the people cast off restraint. The people don't live out their God-ordained calling. They don't enjoy Him. They don't walk in their purpose. Why they were created, they cast off restraint and they go a totally different direction because they lack revelation, they lack vision, they lack a picture and understanding of eternity, of what this is really all about. And again, that's what happened to Solomon. And so this lack of understanding what God has in store for our eternity creates in us an identity crisis and has us doing life aimlessly. It's not a fun place to be. And I'm sure we all find ourselves in that place from time to time, different degrees. We find ourselves in that place. And often, how do we get there? We get there because of the busyness of life. The cares of this world come and they jump on us and they rob us from that sweet time in the presence of God, and they rob us from washing our minds with His Word. And just we live in a broken world, okay? It's just hard. It is just hard. And what does Satan want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal these things from us. Busyness is not a good thing. You got to fight it. I remember this acrostic, B-U-S-Y, being busy. What does that really look like? What does that mean for us? B stands for being. The U is under. The S is Satan's yoke. Busy. And we find ourselves living like, I guess, chickens with our head cut off, aimlessly running around, bouncing into things. Because we find ourselves again under Satan's yoke. He's robbed us of what God has for us. He's narrowed our thinking so much that everything seems purposeless, and it's not a good place to be. How do we battle this? How do we fight against getting caught in that place where Solomon found himself? We battle against living a wasted life by maintaining an eternal perspective. We battle living a wasted, pointless, meaningless life by thinking eternally, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, and by keeping our minds on the reality that He loves us so much that He's coming back to make all things new and to dwell among us and walk with us. And we will have that for eternity. And so as we deal with the crashing waves of life that are pulling us under, and we're getting tossed to and fro, and frankly getting beat up by the world that we live in, we keep our eyes not on those details, but we keep our eyes fixed on Christ and the eternity that we're promised that is coming in Him, and we ride them out. We ride them out, and they don't crush us. They don't steal from us. They don't kill us. They don't destroy us. Because our minds are fixed on Christ and on eternity with Him. The future looks small, and we feel insignificant when we don't see and think past the cares of today. And God didn't come. Jesus didn't come and hang on the cross. The resurrection didn't happen so that we could live small lives. Jesus came that we might have life, and that to the full. Big. Amen. Big life in Him. New life in Him. Full life in Him. And so we battle against hopelessness and depression that comes when we lack vision and purpose by doing what? By thinking eternally. By thinking eternally. As I close, I want to remind us that new thinking, thinking God's way, is a lifelong journey. It's an exploration like we talked about before. It's a searching out. It's a process. as the old continues to fall off and the new comes. And some of us just experienced some of that this morning as Dave was praying and we were coming into agreement with that prayer and we were breaking things off, the old things off, and the new things were coming. It's a journey. It's a process that we get to enjoy and be part of every day of our lives. It's a pursuit. And so as I close, I want to ask you this question. And I'm being serious when I ask you this question. I want you just to get right now with God. And I'm going to ask you, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Are you allowing Satan to rob you? Are you allowing him to cheat you? Are you allowing him to make your life small? What are you thinking? I want to encourage you to renew your minds. I want to encourage you to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Every thought captive. To put that Jesus filter on there, and everything comes through the Jesus filter. And that Jesus filter is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Calibrate your minds to eternity. Don't let your world, your life become small and the things of this world to grow big. Let the things of this world grow dim. Let the things of this world, the cares of this world, the busyness of this life grow small, and let God keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. Have eyes for Him and only for Him. I want to ask you to stand up one more time. We're that up and down today, I guess. The up and down thing. It's good. We're going to be walking into these new things. It's going to be life-changing for us. Some of us have already embraced a lot of this stuff already, but we got to keep going back to it and back to it and back to it. And right now I want to encourage you this week to just walk into those new waters and new reality of new thinking. I want you to wake up every day and put on that helmet of salvation, that filter of God's Word, and let everything come through that. Think godly. Think biblically. Think eternally. Come alive in the new things that you have now and who you are now in Christ Jesus. I want to lead us in one more prayer. Let's just close our eyes. If you feel comfortable lifting your hands to heaven as a form of surrender and coming into agreement with Him. And if you feel comfortable, just you want to pray these things after me. Let's continue to take off the old and put on the new. Come into agreement with God. Let's just say, Jesus, I set my mind on You. I say no to the old. I say yes to the new. I come out of agreement with the old. I come into agreement with You. I will read Your Word. I will take it in. And it will continue to change me and make me new. I will look to You as my hope, as my present, as my future. I will keep my eyes on You, for You and You alone are my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my hope. You're my everything. Thank You for renewing my mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.